Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Milan Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
Yeah.
Even
nice.
Though you're listening to the radio, we'll be... Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry
it's Steve Arterburn
Christmas.
Here. And joining me, Dr. Sherry Keffer and Chris Williams.
Yes, hey. Merry Christmas.
Nice, Merry Christmas.
It's my favorite day.
I know. Love that opening, day. Steve. I just grabbed my cup of hot cocoa here.
Well, we're really thrilled that you're listening to us here today on Christmas. And what a great day. You know, one of the things that I've done this year is... make sure my kids know that Jesus didn't show up on Christmas, that Jesus was here before the beginning of time, that Jesus, God, the Bible says that through him all things were made and were made by him. Jesus and God were there. And then he shows up in an earth suit right here on Christmas Day to walk among us and say, here's how you live, and I'm going to die for you. And what a great, great thing it is. I hope it's a great, great time for you. You know, one of the things that I've been hearing are all these different lists of people that died over the past year, 2017. Here's our list of folks who went on and they died. And you could put a whole other list together of folks whose reputation died in 2017. I've never seen. Have you guys ever seen anything like it? How many people... crashed and burned. The scandals were just incredible. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to do the exact opposite. We're going to share with you some stories of people who started living in 2017, whose lives were transformed, where everything was different. And I'll tell you a story. There were some folks that were on our trip to Greece, and she pulls me aside, and this is a woman who was walking out the door, and I just said, would you do one thing? Would you just go to the marriage weekend? Just do that before you leave this man. And she did, and just like so many other people who are done, when they go to the marriage weekend, they're not done anymore. Well, it had been about a year and a half, I don't know, 2 years, and she said she went over to this area that she hadn't cleaned out in a long time, and there she found these emails between her husband and the woman he had an affair with. And she said she just felt God saying to her, time to burn those. He came home, and they went out back, and they started a fire, and they burned all the evidence of the affair. She said, I have never felt so free. The weight as all that evidence that I kept and held on to, it just lifted off of me this burden. And she said, I have never felt so free in my life. That happened in 2017. That's a life, that's a marriage restored because he was willing to get help, and she, though hurt so badly, was willing to just give it one last try. And now, rather than us to tell you all of the divorces that we could tell you, or the deaths, we're able to tell you about a life, a marriage restored. And how about their kids who this Christmas, today, they're together. Everybody's together. Not him living in an apartment or them splitting the time. Because you supported this ministry. And we thank you. If you're listening today, it's probably a reason. And I hope that one of those reasons is if you haven't supported us, you will this final week here of 2017. It would be a great blessing. I'll send you Take Your Life Back. If you haven't read it, I think you'll love it. But I'll send that to you as a way of saying thank you. But let me say thank you anyway. Anybody that's supported us, thank you on behalf of that woman who is free, that man who is sexually pure, because you support this ministry. Thank you from them.
Food has been an issue with me. I keep eating to push down the emotions. I did really well at isolating before I went to Living Light, and it taught me to get out of my comfort zone and just move. We had exercises every morning throughout the workshop, and it really helped me to get in touch with that sadness and get some movement going. I just thought it was really well done, because during the day we had these workshops and we had the smaller groups. I never felt so loved and cared for in my life. I walked away with a hope that I hadn't had in a long time. Living Light was just a turning point for me.
The Living Light Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. January 26th through the 28th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that you're with us here today on New Life. Got some more stories for us. Share those with you in just a bit. But right now, I want to go to the phones here. Let's talk to Sophia from Los Angeles, California, listening on KKLA. Hi there. How are you? What's going on?
Hi. Good morning. Good morning.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I sure can.
I've called before in the past, but this time my husband was accusing me of doing something with somebody, which he's never had been able to prove or is being real what he says. But I have the situation right now when I'm going to therapies for like a chiropractor and emotional distress issues. I get sick just, you know, having to talk to my husband and then argue right away about something. I have my two kids. Well, they're old already. One's 34, the other one's 27. My son's staying with us. And they seem to be on their dad's side, even though he's an alcoholic. And my son is joining him, drinking, and they don't like me to say anything about it because I'm frustrated already. I just don't want to deal with this situation anymore. I don't know how to help him. He doesn't want to go to no counseling, especially anything that has to do, any people that have to do anything with God.
Well, if he's an alcoholic and he's drinking, I would think that him thinking you're having an affair would be the least of your worries, and now he's got the son involved with this. He needs treatment. He needs treatment for his problem.
Yes, I believe. Yes,
Chris,
I agree. Sherry,
what do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, addiction itself creates its own paranoia and its own fear. I mean, he's out of control. And so, and when he violates his own values and his own sense of well-being over and over and over again, there's this thing called projection, and the addict projects that out. You must be as unfaithful as I am, or you must be as out of control as I am, or I can't be the only one. They also do this thing. I love Sherry's work on this. It is called gaslighting. And what that is it's making you the problem so you don't focus on his problem. This is classic addict behavior. And as Steve was saying, his accusation of an affair is not even close to your biggest problem. Your biggest problem is that your husband is out of control and your son is going down with him. And I'm not saying that your son's not responsible or that your husband's fully responsible for your son, but this is a really big crisis situation. And alcoholism is real and it is devastating. And you really need to look into getting into your own help and support beyond a chiropractor that looks like Al-Anon and a therapist, a marriage and family, or you know, social worker, psychologist, someone who specializes in addiction and especially codependency.
Have you ever been to Al-Anon before? Have you ever been to Al-Anon?
Not me.
Oh, there she is.
You haven't been. Well, now, see, that's where you're going to find some great insight and hope. And why do you think that that you've resisted doing that? This is what spouses of people with addiction problems do. They just find it and they go.
Well, I never thought I had to go, because I usually go to retreats to help myself spiritually, you know, to sustain my ability to say, okay, you know, spiritually, I need to know that what to see what is right and what is wrong, and to ask God to guide me.
Right. And that's good. That's really good that you're doing that. I wouldn't quit that. But then there's this specialty, this group of other folks who are right where you are, who can give you some strength and hope and some insight into what to do. If I were you, I would be hanging on the line here. Let us try to find an interventionist that comes in when things are impossible, and they do the possible. They make the impossible possible, especially when a guy he's paranoid, he's got his son involved, you guys are totally split apart, and he wants no help. Sherry, a final comment here.
Well, I think the Bible is clear, Sophie, and I love that you do pursue your faith with the Lord. But, you know, God is really clear in the Proverbs when he says, seek wise counsel. And here you are today calling us. We believe in God, and we see him in this, but we're asking you to get help. It's waiting is only going to let things get worse. So please don't just think about what we've told you today. Act. Step in. Get a therapist this week. Get into Al-Anon this week. Don't wait any longer. It's only going to get worse.
You know, I think everybody who needs to get help has an excuse not to. And the hope comes many times when you just look at the excuse. What is my excuse? And you try to counter your excuse, and then it's like the world starts to open up for you sometimes when you finally address that big excuse there. I'm going to send her a Life Recovery Bible. And write that. You say, well, isn't that for alcoholics and drug addicts? No, it's for anybody with a problem. And it helps you to see that, hey, I can't really do this by myself. And God can, and I'm going to let him. And it works you through a process and takes you down a path of restoration and healing. And that is coming her way. All right, let's go to, how about we talk with Lori from Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Lori, how are you today? What's going on in your life?
Oh, I'm all right. Hi, how are you?
Good. You're all right today?
Good. I'm just all right, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to preface this with my question.
Okay.
It's not to frustrate anybody, but my question is, why am I making such poor life choices, especially, well, because of, and that seems like I'm answering my own question, especially after the probably 12 major life crises I've had. I'm making really poor, expensive choices that I have to stop. I told myself I will not bring this rot into the new year. I want to tell you how poor my choices are. Last year at this time, I was doing the same thing, traveling around in my car around this area with nowhere really to go. This is the mountain I'm going around, and it has to stop.
Okay, so the question.
Okay, go ahead.
So the question is, why is it that you have prevented other people from being part of your life to the extent that you're driving around in a car by yourself?
Yeah.
Why have you prevented other people from coming alongside, being part of your life?
Okay, you hit the nail right on the head, because
I'm psychic.
People...
This is the Psychic Friends Network right here. Yeah. What is it?
Well, I know exactly what it is. It's filthy human pride. That's what it is. It is the people that come alongside me are my family. And my family, they're the ones that did these ridiculous things. They're not bad people. They just made choices for my life. I was out of the country, and they did foolish things, and I was in such despair when I came home.
What foolish thing did they do?
Oh, my word. The first year, my sister didn't open my mail. I broke my leg when I was in another country, and I tried to take care of this. I had something that I needed to take care of. Well, I sort of lost sight of it. She didn't open my mail for a couple of months, and she cost me $11,000. That's huge. Mm. I'm thankful to God I had the money to pay it.
What does that have to do with you not letting people into your life, you not finding a way to develop relationships?
Because these are the people my family.
That's your family. I'm talking about people outside your family. When you have a family that's hurtful, you have to go get a second family.
Well, here's what's happening. I tell my woes. I'll be in a coffee shop. I like to talk. I'm a sitting duck, okay? So even the friends that I do have, with the exception of two, have taken advantage of me. I'm a sitting duck. Because I'm always talking about this stuff. I can't.
Okay, so Laura.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I have some. I'm going to start with some tough feedback. but hopefully getting to a place that really gets you moving forward. You're stuck.
I need to.
You're not, you know, when you said filthy, dirty human pride, well, that's a symptom. That's not the cause. That's not your problem. Your problem is fear.
And you're right. Okay.
You fear yourself. And you're carrying a belief about yourself that you can't make something of your life and make something of the world. And so when you encounter people, you play victim as your winning formula. You're looking for a rescuer. Now, that creates a lot of high expectations for other people. So when they don't meet those expectations, then you're disappointed all over again, and then it feeds the victim mentality, the victim state. And then you say, see, look, all over again. But it keeps you in a place of profound just powerlessness over your own life and stuck and fearful. And so you do keep circling because you're looking for a rescuer where there's not one to be found.
Right.
Okay.
Well, are you saying that there is not actually one to be found?
I am saying that there is actually not one to be found because you're looking in the wrong spot.
Okay.
And I want to add to this that when you're in another country, you're not cut off completely. There are ways to communicate, and there are ways to say to a family member, would you open my mail that came this month and tell me what I owe? And to put that off on them might not be totally accurate or fair. Let's hear from Sherry before we...
Yeah, so Lori, do you find yourself kind of, you know, having some days that are really, you're really bummed out, and then other days where you seem to have a lot of extra energy and not know where to go with it, like kind of this longing for adventure, and you just go? Is that a little bit of what?
No.
Okay.
It's not a longing for adventure. It's just being in a desperate situation. And I want to agree about the money because I've let my sister really off the hook.
Well, but let me...
I want to pay...
But this is the deal. What we're trying to do is help you look at you. Because right now, I have two thoughts that are going through my head. I'm thinking this is a lovely woman who has been stuck and having this pattern of chaos for a long time and looking for people to save her. And when I hear that, I think of... two things first off. I wonder about you, and I wonder about, did she grow up in a very chaotic family where she was abused physically, alcoholic family? Was she molested? What happened to her that would create so much chaos on the inside that it's being reenacted in the present? The other thing I wonder about is I go, wow, I wonder if she's seen a good psychiatrist. Because sometimes we can have brain chemistry issues like a bipolar disorder, which would make us kind of behave in more of an up and down chaotic way. And whether it's it's our brain or our past or a combination of both, we're kind of sick and tired of the chaos, but we're not getting to the solution. And nobody can help you but you.
Right. No, I have, I did not have an abusive family. I had a chaotic family because we were a large family, but my parents, my mother never touched a drop of alcohol, good church-going people. My father did not. No abuse there. I do remember an incident when I was about 5 years old where I was standing in front of a house and some man saw me on my tricycle and he said, little girl, come to the yard with me. And I knew that I shouldn't have gone.
Right.
My core said don't. And I did not listen to my core.
Okay. So now let's talk.
And I still think I don't.
But I get it. But if somebody has something like bipolar disorder, and I'm not diagnosing you, I can't do that, right? But if somebody has a brain chemistry issue, even from young, there's these behaviors that go up and down, and it creates chaos for our life. And we've got to figure out what our brain and body need so that we have more control.
We'll be back after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You are a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. So I want to ask the question here. Is there any way that when you look back, you were talking about this incident of somebody, you know, you were on your tricycle, but was there a time in your life when you got really hurt by somebody that you can think of? Is there any, does that bring up anything, a real concrete source of hurt?
Well, I do. There is someone, and it would be my oldest sister, that I can't pinpoint exactly what it was, but even a couple of years ago when I got near her, she called me on the phone and started challenging me on all the things that have happened. I'm here to tell you, I fell on the floor in a ball, and I called a counselor the next day.
Okay,
and got on Lamictal.
Okay.
So there's this.
All right.
I don't know what.
That's a good thing that you went and you got some.
Proud of you, girl.
Help there.
Proud of you.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing: when we have kind of a chaotic existence like this, you either you're able to say there was this deep trauma, this or this ongoing chaotic mess that I was raised in. And if not, then we have to look at, wow, maybe there's a wiring problem or a chemical problem that cannot be dealt with by being more spiritual or trying harder. We really have to go to the expert and get the help that we need. And that's what I'm glad that you did that. I think if you went and you found some medication then, we would just encourage you to go back now and explore with a psychiatrist. Is there a medication that might help me to connect with other folks? Because it's going to be hard for people to connect with you in that chaotic state where you're really having a hard time just, you know, settling down and being focused.
Well, and you know, you're so on it, Steve. This is the deal, is I know some amazing people, lovely people with bipolar disorder. It's something they were genetically born with. Yeah. And what happens is throughout their life, because they get these peaks and valleys of some type that are going on in their brain that they don't even know are happening. It's kind of like the king with no clothes. Everybody sees mm-hmm. something's going on, but you don't know what it is. You're just used to reacting to people who are reacting to you. The bipolar disorder actually creates its own mini traumas over time. And so then there is a brain chemistry issue and the fallout of these traumas, because I can't seem to connect with people, or they look at me weird, and it's really been an untreated brain chemistry issue. So it's almost relearning how to live and be in relationship mm-hmm. with a brain that is healthier and that's not yanking your chain.
Well, and I think it's important for the loved ones to realize that, like, we're dealing with an unseen ailment, which makes it very challenging, very difficult.
You're right.
And the internal world of the person who deals with some pretty strong or severe mental illnesses is a world of torture, especially for the bipolar. They never know what they're going to wake up with. And so we wonder, why can't they make a decision, or why can't they move forward, or why, you know, they're scared of their own shadow. I'm like, yeah, because they really literally don't know what condition they're going to be in to show up in the world. And we need to show a lot more empathy for that.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's why we end up with the question that she started with. Why is it I continue to do this same mm-hmm. thing? I was doing this last year.
Yeah,
is we're truly stuck in it, and we've got to go beyond. And, you know, some of you've been raised in churches or by families. And literally the term would have to be hyper-spiritual. In other words, too spiritual. You say, well, how could you be too spiritual? Well, hyper-spiritual isn't like too spiritual. It's inappropriately spiritual. It means trying to put a spiritual understanding onto it. It'd be like breaking your leg and then thinking that there was some spiritual solution to getting those bones to mend, when somebody's already figured out if you put those things together, put them in a cast, they'll mend. But you got to have the cast. You got to have the physical to impact it. And sometimes we've got to have something outside of ourselves to go inside of ourselves, a substance beyond what we can create ourselves. And, you know, Jesus even modeled this when he spit on the ground, when he made mud, he put it on the blind guy's eyes. I just sometimes wonder if he was kind of giving us an example of, hey, I could heal this guy instantly, but I want to show you. Sometimes you really do need to take a substance outside of yourself and apply it, and that's going to be the source of the healing, along with the power of the Holy Spirit. So
it's so true. Yeah. We had someone that had came to our New Life weekend, Steve, who was in a bad place, and she actually had bipolar disorder. She got in with one of our New Life therapists, got on some good psychotropic meds, and she was in one of my small groups. I won't tell you her name or anything, but you know what I just got, Steve?
What'd
you get? I just got a picture of her. She's now been 3 years married, and she was saying Merry Christmas to me. Life is good. So again, Steve, there's so much that happens here at New Life, and there's so much hope, right? Doing the right thing, getting into the right counselor, hearing stories that you don't have to stay in chaos. You don't have to keep circling around in your car and chasing your tail. There are interventions, and we're all about that. We're about the transformation and change. So,
I'll tell you, I read a lot of books, and I know a lot of stuff. One of the greatest things in my life is to know that I'm not an expert on me. I need a little consultation, and I'll be with my consultant tomorrow. That's what I'll do. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery, and it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem. And it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at TV.NewLife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of TV.NewLife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. I got to read this to you. It's Christmas. Listen to this. One of the managers of a radio station that we air on was encouraged by an executive of the company that owned the station to send in emails from listeners about how his station had changed their lives. That station manager couldn't find any, and he started questioning the impact of his station in his community. Surely someone would have reached out to the station. Why couldn't he find anything? Then he goes to a basketball game at a local church. A man he'd never seen before sitting next to him started a conversation. They didn't even properly introduce themselves to one another. And the station manager said he didn't really feel like talking to anyone. And this guy was kind of annoying. So we chatted a little. And I asked him if he's a fan of this team and that one. And he says, neither. He says, I've decided to be a fan of Jesus. And he went on to tell how he used to get in barroom fights over arguments about one team or another. It was an open door for the station manager to tell his story that had similar aspects. But he felt the Holy Spirit tell him to be quiet and just listen. But I did ask him, so how that changed him. Well, he said that one day he was driving down. He asked him, how did you change? He said one day he was driving down the road in his wife's car and turned the radio on. And she had it on a station he wasn't familiar with. There was a show called New Life Live. And there was a lady on there asking for help. And at this point, the station manager looked down to see if his shirt had a station logo on it or not. And it didn't. This guy had no idea that he was talking to the manager of the station that airs New Life Live. So the guy continued with his story. He's listening to our program, and he said the caller was in a troubled marriage, but her husband wouldn't address the issues. She didn't even think he was aware of the issues. He was caught up in himself. He said that the caller was describing his own marriage. And he said that that the female caller started describing her husband, how he chose sports and works and money as his God. And he thought, wow, that sounds like me. And he said that was a new beginning for him. And he took the advice from the radio host and went home to be a new husband, father, and child of God. Wow. So this station manager wanted me to know the effect of our program on one life, one marriage, one family that God revealed to him firsthand. And he loved the way God encouraged him when he couldn't find an email. Instead, he found a person. And as the game ended, the man took out a piece of paper and wrote on it, said to the station manager, "Brother, I don't know where you are in your life with Christ, but let me assure you that there is hope." And that hope was because what he heard listening to New Life Live. So he handed the station manager a piece of paper that simply read, "Be blessed. God loves you. And take a listen to 94.7 FM, which is where to tune in to the station manager's station. Well, the station manager thought, "Thank you, God, for once again answering me when I call. Sometimes we're too busy to see God working. We just need to sit and be quiet." And that station manager closed his note with this: "Thank you, Steve, for partnering with us and doing work for the kingdom." Merry Christmas. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
That's incredible.
Well, that got me. I tell you, you know, you hear a lot of preachers fake crying. That wasn't me. I never learned how to fake cry. I didn't take that in preaching courses. But that
was... I was absent that day.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, God bless you. If you can help us, would you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE? And let's have more stories like this next year. 1-800-NEW. L-I-F-E.
And on a personal note, Steve, I mean, that's a present to me as well, because it's our voice goes out. We really honestly don't know the impact of it. We don't know how it impacts or affects people's lives. And so to hear that feedback, it, for me, is just being one of the co-hosts. It's like, keep going. Keep doing this. Let's do more.
Mm. Well, if you can help us, please do. We'll send you Take Your Life Back, just a small way of saying thank you. Thank you, thank you. Man, that just made my day. Merry Christmas to me, I tell you. Woo! Okay, here we go. Let's talk with George. Santa Ana, California, KKLA is the station. Hello, George. How are you?
Hello. Nice to be online.
We're glad you're here. How could we
help?
Thank
you. I am a recent widower. I lost my wife just over a year ago.
Okay. And, sorry about that.
Quite unexpectedly, a lady has come into my life, and we first met perhaps about a month and a half after she, after my wife died. It was my impression that she wanted a friendship, but I soon found out that she was interested in romance. Mm-hmm. That threw me into something of a terror, because I figured I must have said something to her or did something that gave her the impression that I was interested in romance, and I wasn't, of course. So, as the relationship developed, after a short while, we were holding hands, and I felt like things were spinning out of control, and I was trying to subtly tell her that, look, you know, my heart is for my deceased wife. I'm not interested in romance. And it kept on going, and we finally agreed to give it a shot as boyfriend and girlfriend. After that, a couple of days after that day that we agreed to this, a major crisis hit her life, and I was caught in the middle of it. I won't say much about it because I don't want to take up too much time, but due to this crisis, she was really beside herself with grief and anger, and she actually had to live at my house, and that, I think, was a very bad mistake, but she was completely unable, really, to function. And she has really glommed on to me, and I've kind of lost control of my life. It's a very codependent relation. And
so, ask us a question about this.
I'm really caught up into the sweep of it. And it is my fault, because at the very beginning I should have been frank and said, you know, I'm not interested in romance at this time. But I was a coward. And so it's really spun out of control.
So what's the question for us then?
Well, the question is, I've talked to various people about this, and they think that the signs concerning this relationship are not good. They think it's leading to disaster. I will tell you this much. She has had a very painful life, and she herself is...
So what is the question for us?
Molestation.
We know her. we have met many, many people just like her. So I want you to ask us a question, and maybe we could help you with it.
All right.
What's the question?
I think I need to break up this relationship because it's draining me. And
so what's the question then for us?
But
what
I don't know how to go about that.
Okay.
I'm very I'm approaching this with fear and trembling.
Okay. All right. And I can sure understand that. Sherry, you want to get us started here with, I mean, we've seen this happen over and over again to where once someone is essentially when he says, okay, let's be boyfriend, girlfriend, now the big crisis, now total dependency on the other person. It's very, very sad.
Oh, George. So let me reframe your idea of being a coward. I don't think you're a coward at all. I actually think that you are and have been very vulnerable because of your new fresh loss. And you were still in a process of bereavement. So I might say some things that hurt, but I just, you know, when we hear callers, all of a sudden stories come to mind that sound very familiar. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of one where there was a very, very needy woman who had a lot of history and a lot of issues and a lot of things that she didn't tend to. And she was this kind of consummate, chronic victim, powerless person. And because of her issues that she had not addressed, whether it was conscious or unconscious, she would, and I'm going to use this word, prey on somebody who was vulnerable to take care of her. And so kind of like being played, she would find somebody, and then all of a sudden, the story would be the same, some tragedy, and she would collapse in this person's home.
Yep.
And then this person was left with trying to figure out how to get her out. So let me just say this. There is no easy path for this. You cannot coddle her because she's basically kind of keeping you entrapped. And so you are going to have to give her a very short window. Like, you, I'm so sorry. I cannot do this relationship. I'm going to need to ask you to move, and I'm going to need to ask you to leave within the next 10 days. Now, I will help you, you know, see if you can find a place, but I can't have you stay here. And I know that sounds cold. You're going to probably feel cold, but this is a person that has some serious needs that you can't tend to. But she's just looking for somebody like a daddy to take care of her, and I don't think that's what you want.
Yes, and that's, you know, I have come to love her, but it's not a romantic love. I'm probably 24 years older than she is.
I knew it. We got it. We got you, George.
We got you. George, you got kidnapped, buddy. We'll help you.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours could change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay. We are back. George, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay,
yes,
so here's the really good news, okay? The really good news is you are not alone. This is not a result of you being weak or cowardly. It's happened so many times to so many guys that there's a tremendous amount of understanding about how these things happen and the situation. She has a personality type that's born out of being abused and not properly treated, and I feel for her greatly. But really, she did. She kidnapped you. She lured you in at a vulnerable point and got you to that point where you believe there's no other alternative but for her to move in with me. Now, you need to find another place for her, another option, if you have to pay for that for a little bit or whatever. A little bit of assistance to remove her from your home is going to be your first step of being freed, okay?
Can I say something right here? I just got disconnected. I'm back on the phone. Let me give you a little history here. It was months ago when I insisted that she could no longer live here. So she doesn't. She's not resident here anymore.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's a good thing.
That is good.
That's
yeah.
Good,
good for you.
Because,
well, there's another example down here. There's another evidence that you're not
so
a coward.
What's the residual then? Why the call today?
But let me jump in. George, here's what I want to say. The fear is that you're the bad guy here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The internal fear is that I don't want to be the jerk who lets this woman off and breaks up with her in her desperate situation. George, mm-hmm. there's probably a half a dozen other guys out there in her path that she did the exact same thing to. So I want you to know that you're not alone. And you were destined to be the bad guy in this situation long before you ever realized
it. That's true.
And so I just want you to know that you being the bad guy needs to be eliminated from your thought, from your belief. You're not a bad guy here. You're not Jesus to her. And that doesn't make you bad. And like Sherry said, and you're not weak because of this situation. Now, I do think that saying, hey, I take ownership of the fact that I wasn't as upfront as I could have been about this relationship, but I'm going to be crystal clear right now, and that is this has got to end.
So, George, you were married how long?
3 years.
You were married to your wife for 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you can remember back before her when you had to break up with a young lady, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You got to call on that. You got to call on that strength. You got to put on that armor, and you're going to have to break up, but you're going to have to not respond like normal females would go, okay, I'm sorry it didn't work out, I'm so sad, and they would move on. She's going to probably circle over and over again for a while until you don't put the milk out on the doorstep anymore. For like
I'm
a kitten.
Sure she will, yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to have to, you're going to feel mean, but you're going to have to just close cleanly. And just let her know you're sorry. You just don't want to walk ahead.
Now, this is your very lucky day here on Christmas because I'm going to give you a gift. We have a book, Understanding and Loving Someone with Borderline Personality Disorder. And there's so many things in here that are just, you're going to go, oh, That's me. That's her. That's me. That's her. Wow. This is amazing. It's going to give you some great insight into what to do. And I'm going to send that to you. Really grateful that we have that book. In fact, when I was at Focus on the Family doing a couple of programs there, their head of counseling was telling me that is the book that they use, that they recommend to folks. It's Understanding and Loving a Person with Borderline Personality Disorder. There's some a lot of other books that describe the situation, walking on eggshells. I hate you. Don't leave me. I mean, that's probably the one that really kind of expresses the sentiment so well. And whether this is full borderline or it's a version of it or whatever, I don't know that. We can't figure that out. But I'll guarantee you, you'll find some great insight in that book for you. If you need some help, that's the greatest place in the world to be. To be able to say, I need some help. That I can't do this on my own. That kind of humility is the beginning, I think, of life change for so many people. How many folks are going through life thinking they've got it all figured out? I know a young man in deep trouble and so arrogant that he would never listen to a Christian message, thinking that we're just a bunch of stupid people that have a crutch. Now, his sexual addiction, his drug use, he would never see that as a crutch. But our Christianity is a crutch. Let me tell you something. I need all the crutches I can get. And I'm leaning up against a cross and not a crutch. And it was on this day, or we celebrate the day, where Jesus came into Earth's atmosphere, breathed his first breath. And then when he took his last, he died for us to be saved. No more sacrifices needed to be made because he made the ultimate one. Sometimes I think when we say Jesus died on the cross, we're not really taking into full account what really happened. He was tortured. He was mutilated, beaten for us, and then he died on the cross. When I look at some of the stories and some of the experts who talk about the way he was treated, I think maybe the cross was the least painful of it all. And it all happened because he decided that he would come and save us from our sins, show us how to live, and then die. And that's really the true message of Christmas. It's new life. It's transformation. I don't know why you're listening to us on Christmas Day, but I know this. There is no sin in your life that will not be forgiven if you'll ask God to forgive you, if you'll accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you'll accept his death and burial and resurrection as the source of your salvation. His penalty on the cross takes care of it all. You just have to say, Lord, come into my life. Thank you for coming into the world. Now come into my heart and save me from all of this. There's nothing you have done beyond what Jesus can do for you. You've not gone too far. You've not sinned too much. He has grace enough for you. And if you want to know more about that, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. What a great thing on Christmas to begin a whole new life. Maybe you've accepted Jesus a long time ago, but it's time you turn things around. There is nothing more forceful and powerful than a New Life weekend to get you off in the right direction. Whether it's our weight loss program, Living Light, or Take Your Life Back, or Every Man's Battle, our marriage intensive, or what we do for women who have been married to someone with a sexual integrity problem, all of those things have hope for you. A new life, a transformation. We started this ministry, well, it'll be 30 years in 2018. We started this ministry based on three things. We want to present the true truth to folks, not some Band-Aid version of truth, but the real truth. And we wanted that to be presented in redemptive relationship. And if the relationships aren't redemptive, we wanted to help people repair them to where they would be. And then we wanted to watch, assist, and be part of a transformation of those lives. And we have seen hundreds of thousands of people over the years transform their lives. If you want to be part of those thousands, you call us right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you want to be part of the New Life team and help us, just call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll say thank you with the book, Take Your Life Back. Merry Christmas to you all. We love you. God bless you. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.